بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على رسوله الكريم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعيذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن لكل دين خلقا، وخلق الإسلام الحياة. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: certain of the advices that he gave at the time, which was known as the era of Jahiliyyah, during the ages, how people understood it, definitely they understood it to a great extent. But when we enter into what is called the second era of Jahiliyyah, you really understand the beauty of the sentence in what is called this last 200 years, the last 300 years. After Islam came into the world, it created a revolution of the issue of haya. In the era of Jahiliyyah, it was in the minds of the Arabs that clothing is not the best of things. To become naked was regarded as not only normal, it was sometimes an act of piety. The devil had put it in the minds of people that how can you make tawaf around the Kaaba in the very clothes that you make sin? So the Arabs would make tawaf of the Baytullah without clothing. The woman would go at night. The less clothing you had, the better. The men would go during the day. For a person to walk in that era, and he wanted to cover his private parts, he was a man, it would be a joke for others, like, what you're trying to hide. For a person to cover was an ar, was an aib. And to show a person, to show a beauty, for the woman to expose, for the beauty of the woman to be shown, that was normal. For a woman to be concealed was not normal at that time. Islam entered into the era of ignorance. Such a revolution it created that even before the laws of hijab were revealed, Sahaba radiallahu anhum already started feeling uneasy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikah is made with Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. There's no law of hijab. But there was something that Islam and Quran brought within them. And her nikah had taken place. There was no law of niqab. There was no law, people cannot look at your face. But something was in her that in front of the people, she just realized, I married the Nabi of Allah. Because people were in the house, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was waiting for them to leave the house, but they're not leaving. They are still talking. No one was looking at her face. But there was an inside haya in her, which made her go to the wall and face the wall. There was no law at that time. Nothing pushed her to do that except this. وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَا. Every nation had a certain trait, but the unique trait of Islam was going to be the creating of the concept of haya. Even if there was no law for it, the one who would be reading Quran would get it naturally. Seeing Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha looking at that wall, Allah tabarakallah revealed ayat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just after the verse was then revealed, the young sahabi, his khadim came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put a curtain. He said, you must not go on that side, my wife is there. The laws of hijab started. But even before the law, what pushed her to go and look at the wall? There was no law that said to sahaba radiallahu anhum, when you will go for istinja, then don't just remove your lower garment, but try and crouch, try and close your body. Allah tabarakallah had to reveal to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that the demands of haya will reach certain limits you will not manage. الا انهم يثنون صدورهم ليستخفوا من. Almighty Allah had to say to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, hold it now. You can't overdo it. They were feeling hard to go for istinja. At the time, finally, when they are crouching, they are pressing their stomach together. The body must not be seen naked. How can I stand naked in front of my Allah? They were then told that, remember, in front of Allah, even if you have clothing on, nothing is hidden from Allah. On that, later on in life, someone said to a pious person, that what is this thing that I mustn't walk around naked? Because by my Allah, whether I got clothing on or I don't have clothing, it's the same. So the pious man said to him, that nothing is hidden from Allah. Allah sees you through your clothing. He said, however, haya is wajib on you for Allah. But it got nothing to do whether you can be seen or not. You are the servant of Allah, you must feel shame, you must do what you have to do. Haya. Islam made such a condition that if there was a meaning of modesty, it was only then for the woman, not for the men. How can a man be shy? Shy man, you will call him a sissy, you will call him a girl. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past, some sahaba were telling their brother, you can't be so shy. Sometimes you get a boy who's shy. He wants to propose to a certain family. He's too shy. He's telling somebody else, I don't know how I'll answer. I don't know how I'll look. They start laughing at him. How shy are you going to be? As they were saying this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ عَلَى الْحَيَاةِ. They were advising him that don't be so shy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him. Leave him because haya is a major branch of iman. When men got more haya, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got more happy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was described so full of haya that it would remind the people of a girl who just got married. She has been put in that certain place waiting for her husband to come. It is that first meeting, she's so shy, said when you would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would remind us of that. Usman radiallahu anhu's level of haya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now even the angels are shy of him. Islam pushed to a very high level haya. And the whole world came onto it. If niqab never come onto every woman, but scarf came on. The hands were covered, the legs were covered. There were those people who could not let their finger be exposed. They put on gloves. There were those who would not manage with two eyes exposed. They wanted only one eye. The meaning of the jilbab is, different manners to cover yourself completely. Some sahaba radiallahu anhu said, you only need one eye exposed. Others said that even having two eyes exposed is not a problem, as long as your body is covered well. Islam changed things. The entire dressing of mankind changed. And then life carried on. During those good years, if you had to mention this narration, وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَا, the trait of Islam is haya, it would have been said obvious. Look at all the Muslim women. You will not see a single woman walking towards the men. It was natural. If a man was walking, the woman would just walk on the other side. If a woman never had the niqab on also, and a man came in front, the woman would look down immediately. If the man would speak, the woman would not answer, her husband would answer. These were natural traits within the entire world. It not only hit the Muslim world, to a great extent even in the Christian world. Because of the teachings of the Bible, haya was created. For years and years, a Christian girl would never have relations out of marriage. She'll find a boy. You will understand, even if it takes 4 years to get married, sometimes they would say the king will make our nikah. Waiting for the king to come and make that marriage, that boy and girl would never get together. No girl would walk out of the house with her hair covered, uncovered. Even in the Christian world, if that was their haya, I want you to think what was the haya of the Muslim world. During that time, to understand this, وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَا, it was like obvious. And then came what we call the modern era. It began in the world of Europe. First the church had to be collapsed. First the haya which was in the Christians had to be removed. And then the same policies which they used in their lands, and they reached a level of success which perhaps they never dreamt about. The level of success where they took that Christian world from a level that they would never leave their house without their hair covered. It brought them to the level that for them to walk around naked, stark naked, was not only normal, it was an honor. For them to be able to make the act of relation with not their husband, with a strange man, in the knowledge of their husband. Their husband would understand she's going to do a certain scene on a movie. The whole world is going to witness that scene. And the husband would also be happier. From a level where a woman would not leave the house without a scarf, to bring the woman to the level that the filthiest of dirtiest of actions, which once upon a time would have brought in the Christian world also the penalty of adultery, where people would have called her a whore, people would have called her a slut, they would have called her a disgrace to mankind. That woman, with another man who was not a husband, but it never ended there. Then they would go to the level where a man would be with another man, a woman would be with another woman, that would be taken pictures of. The whole world would be seeing it. The haya of the looker was gone. The haya of the one acting was gone. The haya of everyone taking the pictures was gone. What a level they took the world. That the word haya was completely ripped into pieces. It worked. It was called the Renaissance. It started with the rebirth. They called it the rebirth, but they never said of what. Was the rebirth of the eighth era of ignorance. But to take the world to a level that even the era of ignorance never saw it like this. In the era of ignorance, no one would ever commit the filthiest of actions and say, I want the world to view it. People would pay money. Everyone would say, I'm going to see what's happening. To enter an era of the worst of ignorance and darkness, it was called the Renaissance. But when it came, it never came with the attack on haya. That was not the first word. The church would never have allowed it. They would have stopped the Renaissance there and there. Rather, it came with progress for mankind. It came with high words which today we translate as science, technology, the move towards the modern era, exploration. These were all good words. Then there are different isms. Platonism and whatever words, but we later on would translate it as humanism. Humanism was the word. Humanism meant at that time that they wrote the rights of humankind, or the declaration of the rights of the human rights, which is celebrated in the world nowadays as a holiday. The day they wrote the declaration of human rights, what it meant was humanism has now been formed. Humanism meant that you and your body is the only thing that matters in the world. You and your body. Whatever you have to acquire to fulfill your desires, go for it. There's no barriers, there's no laws. If religion comes in your way, it prevents you from studying what you want to study, then say to religion, excuse me religion, I will meet you on the musalla, you stay out of my life. If your father and mother come in your way, and they say, we will not allow you to do this, and you say, mommy, get out of my life. You enjoy what you want to, let me enjoy what I want to. In the move for you, humanism meant you are the most important. There is no power above you. There is no one around you. How you want to be, how you want to look, how you want to star in the world. That was the theme of humanism. And the second is in your body. And your body meant that you are the owner of your body, no one else. What you want to show of your body, who you want to touch your body, who you want to speak to and you want to be spoken to, who you want to hold you and you want to hold, It could be a person of the same gender, it could be of the opposite gender. It could be with an animal, it could be with a bird. It could be you want to expose your entire body, you want to expose part of your body. You want to show everyone, you want to show someone. You want to just take pictures of yourself and keep it one side to say, once upon a time I looked at. Whatever you want to do, it's yours. You and your body was the word called humanism. And it created such results in the Christian world that today we know the results. That word haya does not, it's not in the dictionary. Forget the word immodesty. It reached a level called animalism. It brought them to that when I went the other day and I'm looking at the lion. And the lion male and the lion female were sitting next to each other. Lions are completely naked. Bucks are naked. Elephants are naked. And when that animal has to do the act of mating, then they will not like people looking at them doing it. But even if someone is looking, when the lion has to do what he has to do, he'll do it and everyone will look. Someone will be taking pictures, somebody else will be laughing. And I thought how Allah honored insan. Allah tabarakallah would not allow us to be naked. Amazing insan, he took out that clothing. Almighty Allah would not allow the private acts that a girl will do with the one she loves. Forget the worst, the deepest of the acts. Even a husband would not hold his wife's hand when others are looking. He would not kiss her on the head when somebody else is looking. He would not hug her when somebody else is looking. There was so much of haya, so much of haya, that even her voice, Quran would order, وَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. That even your voice, the way you talk, think about it. It must not happen, such a voice comes out, that the one who got sickness in his heart, he starts getting a thought. Look at this verse, وَمَنْ يَقْنُتْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah Ta'ala addresses the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya nisa'an nabi, lastunna ka ahadin minan nisa'in ittaqaytunna, fala taqda'na bil qawl. Listen to the translation of this. One is we could have made a translation, O wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like other women. Lastunna ka ahadin minan nisa'in ittaqaytunna, if you fear Allah. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Because you are not like other women. When you talk, make sure you talk in a manner that doesn't create desires in the mind of others. That translation will not fit very well. That translation will be showing others can talk how they want to. But you can't talk. It's supposed to be the other way around. That you, however you talk, no problem. كَأَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And because you are not like other women, it's not فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ is not that because you are different, you must make sure you look after your voice. See, the translation of this will go in this manner. O wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it had to do with the previous ayah, that they wanted a little more of this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, if you want this world, then I will have to separate from you. The two cannot go together. He said, we choose Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah was so happy with them. In praising them, Almighty Allah was going to show that, remember, wealth is not haram. Wealth is 100% halal. But why your Allah did not give it to you? He said, ya nisa al-nabi, lastunna ka ahadin minan nisa. Y'all are not like other women. What is halal for them is not for y'all. Y'all are different in it, taqaytunna. As long as you have one quality, the quality of taqwa, y'all are on a very high pedestal. Your every action is double. Your uniqueness in the eyes of Allah, a dunya which is halal, but for you Allah would not make it halal. You are unique, you are pure, you are amazing. Then comes fala taqda'na bil qawl. Here we'll translate for. However, despite that high level that you enjoy of such purity, however, you also do not speak in a voice that can attract the hearts of somebody else. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَدْ. Nothing will be your intention. You are so pure. But there will still be a fear that somebody else might desire you. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. However, even you watch how you talk. A lot of times when a girl is told how you dress, how you talk, the first thing that she will say is, but my intention is clean. I don't intend bad. Which girl ever intends bad? That is why rape takes place in the world. The girl never intended it to go where it went. But the boy is not the best. Allah Ta'ala revealed the hukam for covering. How amazing Almighty Allah made it. He says, O Allah's Nabi, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِمْ. Tell them to drop something over themselves. We call it a jilbab. Now what was the reason? اللَّهُ تَبَارُكَ رَسَيْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. By her doing this, it will give a message to the world outside. A yu'rafna means her purity must be recognized. You cannot keep your purity in your heart. You have to make a show of your purity. The person outside must understand this girl is pure. Fala yu'zain, only then he will not harm you. What does it mean you are pure? That girl who has an account, and she allows boys to join her account, to follow her, to read what article she wrote. There's no problem from her side. She's a very clean girl. Her heart is so clean, her thought is so clean. But she never exposed her cleanliness. When she opened up that Facebook, she lifted up the covering. When that boy sees it, he doesn't think she's so clean, she's so pure. He understands it's not difficult to approach her. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَا. The demand of this verse was, O woman of this world, O people of this ummah, I want you to put such a covering over yourself that even if someone wishes to approach, you will see that covering and you will say that this is not the person to approach. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. When someone will approach, that's when harm will come after. That is when a boy starts messing around with a girl. That's when a boy says, will you not send me a picture of you? That's when the girl really believes him after that. And she does send a picture. And no boy is faithful. He doesn't want to marry the girl. For him it's a game. When he's finished with the game, he'll send that picture to so many of his friends. In the Western world, how many girls kill themselves after their pictures of their naked body was spread to everyone in the school? She gave it to the one she trusted. Almighty Allah, look at this verse. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَا. I want you to be covered. Not because you are a bad person. But there are people around you who must get the message that I am not approachable. فَلَا يُغْرَيْن. It is not only a jilbab. It is an environment that you create around. Who got your WhatsApp number? Who can come onto your Facebook? Who do you contact with? Who sees your messages? And haya got no limits. There was a time when the limits of haya went higher, higher, higher. At that time, people would find it hard if another man would take their wife's name by name. If a man would come and say, how's Aisha? Just that how's Aisha would make a man feel upset. But you must not say, how is Aisha? You must say, how is your wife? My wife's name mustn't be mentioned. They went to a high level. The man felt shy to call his wife in front of his friends. He would not say, Aisha, do this. Haya got no limits going upwards. It can go so high that the angels can become shy. And when haya drops, then it got no limits to where it can drop. After the Renaissance did its work in the Christian world, it was not the end. Now the target was the Muslim ones. This wording, وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَا, was unique. And every nation, every madhab had a trait. The trait of Iman is haya. They will never reach where they want it to reach. But the Muslim world, they want it. When they're having this concerts, And they take pictures of how many attended. And it's a thrill for them that now they're getting right next to the Kaaba. Right next to the Kaaba, a top concert. It's a thrill for them to take a picture of that Arab girl. And that girl who's supposed to be fully covered. A girl of the Quran. A girl close to Medina, Makkah, Mukarramah. A girl in the lands of Hijaz. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once said, أَخْرِجُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. Forget their custom, there must be no Christian, no Jew in these lands. In that very land, they not only brought the Jew and the Christian, they brought the entire Satanism in it. When that Arab girl dances, when her body is shown, when a movie is going to take place, if they can get one Muslim girl, it will thrill them so much that the Renaissance in the Arab world has started. After the Renaissance did its job in the Western world, it started in the Arabian world. It started in the year perhaps about 1800, so about 200 years now. It started in Egypt and then it spread to all the Arab lands which were controlled by Turkey. They couldn't call it Renaissance. They gave it two names. One was Ba'ath. We have Ba'ath, meaning Yawm al-Qiyamah is called Ba'ath, resurrection. They call it the Ba'ath. We haven't heard the word Ba'ath, we heard the word Ba'ath. Ba'ath party is a famous party. Ba'ath is the spelling of Ba'ath. B-A-A-T-H. It was Bashar al-Assad, who now we hate so much, because he's massacring the women of the lands of Sham. His father was among the senior members of the Ba'ath. Now you can understand what was the Arabic Renaissance. When the Arabian Renaissance started, the second name was the Nahda. We will stand up again. When they stood up, in the Muslim world, the Khilafat collapsed. In the lands of Arabia, in the lands of the Balkans, in the lands of Bosnia, in lands where the scarf never separated from the head of a believing woman. Today you visit those lands, you will not find a scarf on the head of any believing woman. Muslim lands constitution became, if you're working, you cannot wear a scarf. The niqab was forgotten. The scarf was called niqab. The scarf was banned. You cannot wear a niqab, meaning scarf. If you're a worker, if you're a doctor, if you're a politician, if you are anything, any woman walking with a scarf, see how it changed. In Turkey, if they found any woman walking with a scarf, they would call that woman a prostitute. How they changed the entire thing. What was a prostitute? What became a prostitute? Good woman felt, I can't wear this anymore. And what led in the end, when we visited Turkey, you would never think this is a Muslim girl in front of you. You would see nothing but European. As the hot days would come, the clothes would become less. What would happen at night in the bars? This was the center of the Khilafat. It was supposed to go even worse. Hollywood was supposed to hit all of us. Every girl was supposed to be naked on the roads. There was no niqab. There was no jilbab. There was not supposed to be in any town a single person covering herself. It was regarded against the law. This is, you are making the attack against the Renaissance. If we find you, we'll kill you. And at one time, they really did that. Whoever they found opposing the system, they had them removed. But there was one thing they missed in Islam, which was called وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامَ الْحَيَا. Allah's Nabi said, إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ. When the condition of Sham will become rotten. Today it has not become rotten. Today they are fighting. Jihad has never made anything rotten. It became rotten just before the Khilafat collapsed. Where everyone was ready to start taking out their clothing. Where scholars were giving fatwa that dress like a European and that is your progress. It became rotten in what we call just after the 1800s. 1900 and onwards, in that last 100 years. Today we in those lands we're seeing a revolution. Go now to the lands of Turkey, you will see the scarf coming back on. Go now into the lands of Sham, you will see women covering their bodies. It became rotten about 120, 30 years before. 1917, most likely it was, the Statue of Liberty was brought into America. The Statue of Liberty was to announce to the world, we have taken over. Taken over not America, we have taken over the world. America is the superpower. Every country around us is ours. The Statue of Liberty was made in France, most likely. The people of America had to put the foundation for it. Millions were spent. Millions. When the thing was brought, some wondered what was so much money spent for one statue. We could have made it in America if it would have been cheaper. No. This was a lesson or a message to the world that we, the Shayateen, warn. That we are on the verge now of ensuring not a single woman in the world will ever have any trait of modesty left in her. Statue of Liberty was called Lady Liberty. It was a lady. The Statue of Liberty was Lady Liberty. Liberty what? Liberty means freedom. Freedom of what? Freedom to do with my body and freedom for you to do with your body. Whatever you want, no one can now stop us. Loudly it made an announcement. It lifted up the fire with one hand, the statue. You say, now we will worship the fire. We have no other power to worry about. At the bottom of the statue, there were chains. The chains were broken chains. Above the broken chain, there was a message. That message was a message to Almighty Allah. Then hand me over your slaves, and I want to set them all free. Meaning those that you put in slavery, that they can't do with their body what they want. I want to allow them to do what they want. Those whose voice you put in slavery, they can't talk how they want, with who they want. They can't look and be looked at how they want. You put them all in slavery, I have come to set them free. And I have taken all of them. Loudly it lifted up its hand. It showed the fire. It showed its mighty size. They made that statue, amazing whoever made it. Such devils they were. They made the statue on the size, what is mentioned of the size of Nabi Adam a.s. when he came on earth. That size they put there to show that, oh Adam, this is the end of your children. This is the end. But Rasulullah s.a.w. said something. He said, إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ. When Sham will become rotten, and it will settle in the Arabian world, and there is no goodness left. He said, but at that time also, وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي. Many times when we read this hadith, we think it refers to muhaddisi only. We think it refers to mujaddideen only. We think it refers to an alim only. We think it refers to only mujahideen who stand up and fight. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمَةً عَلَى الْحَقِّ. Almighty Allah, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, but even in that era of open fitna, Allah tabarakala will ensure there will be a group from my ummah who will remain staunch on the truth. One group, besides the mujahideen, mufassireen, muhaddiseen, one group is that girl who says, where haya is falling in the world, at that moment I will climb the step ladder of haya. Where people are removing, I will put more on. Where people are exposing, I will conceal more. Where people are loudly talking with all, I will talk less. And people around me will laugh. They might even say to me, who will ever marry you? No one knows you. They will say, you must be known. You must be on platforms. You must be shown. When she writes her name, she will not manage to put her name. She will write daughter of so and so, Binte Muhammad, that's enough for me. My name must not be known by a stranger. She climbed that ladder, it's not easy. Our own families find it hard. But may Allah tabarakala make it, that in this level of haya, there's no limits. You can reach limits where the angels become shocked at you also. Climb this ladder because this part of the hadith was for you. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمَةً عَلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ. Till the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah said, I ensure you, there will be a group who will stand up and oppose this. People will mock at them, laugh at them. People will try to turn them away. It will not work. There is no limits. You can do, and the one after you will do even more. الدالُ على الخير كفائله. As you show it, the next one will do even more. If the mother puts on scarf, the daughter will put on the niqab. The daughter put on the niqab, the granddaughter will say, I want a full jilbab. I want to be covered like an apa, although I'm a young girl. If the mother said, I don't want my name to be written, instead of Aisha, she put an A. Her daughter will say, why must the A be written? I'll just write the daughter of Muhammad, bint Muhammad. The granddaughter will say, why must I write bint Muhammad? I will put my husband's name on the dishes. People will understand family of, and my husband's name is there. There's no limits in this. We are not saying it is farz. But when we oppose something, the law is in tug of war. You have to also pull your side to avoid being pulled over the other side. They are pulling very hard. They never thought they will find a time where one girl will walk on the streets in niqab. It was against the law of the Renaissance. But they missed the power of Islam. They missed this وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاءِ. That there is something that Quran will create within my ummah. It will make them feel from within, this is not right. They will feel shy. They'll go back on their account. They will see a boy replying. They will say, it's not right for a boy to be on a girl's account. Then they look at their group. They will say, females only. Why must a boy read my writing? Why must a boy read my messages? There was no face-to-face contact. They will feel shy if a boy looks at the eye. There's no limits on this haya. A blind sahabi comes in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to his wives, go behind the niqab. They say, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he's blind, he cannot see us. No limits to haya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, afa'amni awani antuma. What about y'all? Are y'all blind? Real masala is a woman can look at a man. Otherwise, if you come to the house, how will the wife tell her husband who came? She has to know. She has to be able to look at the person and drop her eye immediately. Almighty Allah will say, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَخْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Say to the believing woman, they must also drop their eye. There's no limits to this issue called haya. The more hidden you are, the more you will shine in the world. The more hidden you are, the more unique. Going upwards this ladder, when the time of the demise of Sahaba, Sahabiyat radiallahu anhunna came, one fikr would come in their mind, that in my life I never wanted to be shown. What about when I pass away? Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, before her demise, she got that fikr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't given a command how they must bury her. The person has passed away, they will be buried. He never gave the command. It wasn't farz. It was the desire of his daughter. And her friends that I saw in one country, they create like a coffin, a box. And that box is then taken to the Qabristan. From that box then they take out the body. So on the journey to the Qabristan, you are not seen. It was not a law of Islam. It was the desire of the girls of Haya. When the time comes for the demise of Fatima radiallahu anha, she knows about the box already. That's the top idea, bring the body right to the grave. She got the figure from the grave when they're putting my body into the grave. That's only that 5 minutes. In that 5 minutes, someone's eye will fall on my body. Abu Bakr radiallahu anha's wife says, I saw in one country that they cover the grave also. It's a fantastic idea. They went to the height. None were commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't a first command. It wasn't a sunnah command. And that limit of haya got no limit until it reaches the place where the angels even feel shy of the person. Usman radiallahu anhu would go for ghusl. While making ghusl, he could not stand up when there was no clothes on his body. He would complete the ghusl down. Then he would put a garment on top of him. Then only he would stand up. And I limit. None of it was farz, and we're not going to reach a lot of it. But they say, aim for the sky, and you will reach the roof. We also have to pull a little. The more we can climb this ladder of haya, it will be our honor if we can enter that part of the hadith. وَلَا تَزَالُ قَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمَةً عَلَى الْحَقِّ. The Renaissance has come. It was called the rebirth of the dark ages, the rebirth of the era of ignorance. But the Statue of Liberty went up. It was an announcement that the whole world, especially the women of the world, liberty means freedom. That you are now free to do what you want. Nabi Sallam's wording would describe the Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty meant Lady Liberty. Lady who is free to do what she wants. Nabi Sallam described it so beautifully. He said, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. That Lady Liberty just means no haya. That when you lose your haya, you are free to do what you want. You want to become the Statue of Liberty. Lady Liberty, then you'll have to let haya fall. A collapse of haya means freedom to do now with your body, with your life, what you want. We won't do it, because we are of that noble part of the ummah. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. May Allah tubarakala make us all from them. May He give us himmat, may He give us tawfiq. The more a woman in today's era will conceal herself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once thought about the end of this ummah. He knew what we will go through. What a sentence he said. He said, the end of my ummah is like the rains. Like the rain. Think of this, how he praised. He said, the end of my ummah will be like rain. He said, rain, when a person looks at the beginning, the first part of the rain and the end part of the rain, he finds it difficult to say which was the better part of the rain. Which was more beneficial. Because first there was droughts. Then the rain starts coming. He says a man can't differentiate was the first part better or the last part. There was no doubt at all. No one could match the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But for him to just say this here, at the end of my ummah, they are like the rain that you won't be able to pick up which part was the better part of it. It was like the highest levels of appreciating the sacrifices of the people of this age. That it will not be an easy thing. But you will enter into a mantle as though you made the mujahada of the first part of the ummah. Allah tabarakallah bless all of us. Bless our mothers, our sisters, our daughters. May Almighty Allah bless the men also and the women. Haya is not only for the men. It is a trait, unique trait of Islam. Inna likulli deenin khuluqan. Every madhab had their certain unique characteristics. Wa khuluqul islami al haya. The one that will stand out in Islam is the trait called modesty. It is with this modesty that a person's iman will reach very high levels. His maqam in the eyes of Almighty Allah will be very elevated. The more a person goes into modesty, the more the angels show amazement. The more he grows in the love of Almighty Allah, Allah loves him. Everything got to do with modesty. And the attack of the shayateen, everything got to do with the removal of modesty. May Allah tabarakallah make us from the people of haya. May Allah tabarakallah every day increase us one step higher. And we climb this level to such a level that the time comes that before our death also, it can be said to us that even the angels will now shy of you. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.